Art Musings.
Art Musings.
This is Art Musings with Love from Oxford, a podcast where we natter with local artists, learn about their process, their work, and delve deep into the juicy bits, the dark underbelly of being an artist. I'm Carol Terrio, a painter focused on watercolor and inks.
And I'm Sally Ann Stewart, a lino cut printmaker who loves depicting the beautiful city we live in. We're kicking off our art careers and hoping to learn a few tips and tricks from those around us. And we thought you might like to join us. Allons-y.
Allons-y. Well, hi, Sally.
Hi, Carol.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
We've had a little break. We've probably not been on air for at least a month. So
yeah, it has been a while.
We are back. And we're calling this season two, aren't we?
Yeah, seems season two. Sensible.
Seems sensible for 2024. Now, listeners, today, instead of having a guest, we thought we could use this first episode of 2024 to review our art successes and failures of last year.
I don't think you had any failures.
Oh, learnings. I definitely had
learnings. Things that have made us wiser.
Or things that we haven't yet done that we really, really need to do and we know it more. It's like gets clearer and clearer as months go by. Come on, there's got to be a few for you as well.
Yeah. And I kind of hate that. Like I've realized that is
life.
Just life. Yeah. That you have to go through the pain of those mistakes and failures in order to move on and grow.
I know, but we did grow. We had a few wins. I think first we should maybe start with our collective wins because we had at least two that I can think of that we share. I would say this podcast is one because whilst everyone thinks people just sit down with a microphone, there's a lot more work that goes into it, especially if you have guests and you have to write scripts and learn about your guests and try and get as much as you can out of it. And you have to make everyone's schedules, you know, work together, even though everyone has different jobs and all that stuff. But we managed it, Sally. We did it.
Did we've birthed a podcast.
We birthed.
This time last year, this podcast, it didn't exist and it didn't, I don't know, maybe the germ of it existed for you, but I didn't even know you this time last year.
Yes, I didn't know you this time last year. Isn't that crazy?
Had you any thoughts of art podcasts at that time? Did you groom me? Is that basically what's happened?
Yes, kind of. I just thought, look, I'm good at...
I thought you wanted to be my friend.
I want you to be my friend. No, I just thought I need to kind of break into this art world in Oxford. And I'm totally from the tech side of the world here, right? So I really have a big...
I feel used.
But I like you a lot.
Well, that's something.
It is something. And we also became Oxford Art Society members. La-dee-da.
Yes. So fancy.
Fancy.
So elite now.
Well, it's, you know, someone asked me and they said, why do you care? Why do you want this? Why have you been hunting for this? And I said,
we all care. They care. Whoever that person was, they would care.
Well, they're not an artist. They just didn't understand why it would matter. And I said, well, if you're trying to teach classes, for example, or sell your art, people kind of take you more seriously if you've won awards. And, you know, so it is important, sadly. But hopefully that's going to be interesting. It's going to be our first year together as Oxford Art Society members.
Well, the other thing, you posed the question as to whether we had any, those are our collective wins, as to whether we had any collective, not failures or mistakes, but things that we've learned. And I think positively, something that I've come to realize in this new solo art life of mine is that making connections with people is incredibly important. And we just met because, well, we had a mutual friend and you texted and said, did I fancy meeting up for an arty coffee and chat?
An art blind date.
A blind date. And, you know, at that point, I had no idea that, you know, less than a year on, we'd have a podcast with 6 broadcast episodes under our belts. Yeah. And yeah. also that Art Weeks, Oxfordshire Art Weeks this year will look very different for the both of us because we're doing a group exhibition.
We are. And you've taken the lead on this. So why don't you share our plans yeah. with the world?
So generally, for people who don't know, Oxfordshire Art Weeks is it's an open studios event where artists all across the county open their doors and show people what life is like in the studio and often have work, more often than not, have work for sale. And I've really enjoyed it the last couple of years, but I have found it maybe a bit lonely in the times when people...
Before you met me, yeah.
Before I met you. during Art Weeks, when inevitably there are times when you don't have visitors in your studio, but you can't really leave because you've said you're open. And I think it can also be a lot of pressure just doing it on your own because you're part of such a big thing and there is a communal vibe to it. But essentially, in my case, you know, you're doing all your own stuff and you're in the studio on your own and it's just you when people come to visit. So I thought I'd like some friends. So obviously roped in you and we have 8 other amazing artists who are going to be exhibiting with us over 2 weekends in May.
Yeah, it's so exciting for us because obviously everybody has a few people that like their work and they'll be able to come. So we potentially can increase our audience.
Yeah.
So other people can see our work, but also we get to work together and learn from each other and chill out together. And it's very exciting. It's very exciting.
You know, we're all going to have things that we can help each other with.
Good. Because I've never done this before. So I need your help.
Oh, and there's a few others, I think, who haven't perhaps done this kind of thing before. So we can all help each other and all give each other a boost and mm-hmm. not be lonely. I think I'd like to live in some kind of commune.
Yeah, I get that.
One day when I'm old, elderly women's art commune.
I am 100% in, Sally.
I'll tell you what my big failure from last year was.
Go on.
That I'm very aware of is that I absolutely need to get more organized. Like it's catastrophic and I'm even embarrassed talking about this. But truthfully,
I think I'm going to be saying the same when you fire the question back at me.
Okay, but this is the truth. Okay, I probably sold maybe 20 paintings and prints last year. Okay, mm-hmm. Nothing big, but whatever. Sold some in Canada, sold some here. Great, great, great.
But also, let's point out you have a full-time job.
Yeah, I would not be eating anything but oats.
But selling that number of paintings outside of your full-time work, I think is great.
Sure, but my problem, I wasn't really focused on the selling. I just did a few little things. But the thing is I don't know which paintings I sold. I don't know which prints I sold. I don't know who I sold them to. And I'm dreading going through my stash of remaining paintings and new paintings and going through and trying to sort out where I am and what's going on. And I did this to myself. I could have just kept a ledger. So keeping a ledger is my goal for this coming year.
I feel your pain. There's so much stuff to keep track of and I barely keep track of any of it. I have to do the tax self-assessment, leave all that till the last minute. Mm-hmm. I did start a spreadsheet, tallying up how much of each print I've sold to see what's working and what's not. Kept it for probably a couple of months and then that's gone by the wayside. So like you... pretty clueless as to what's been selling, really. General organization. And it would be amazing if maybe we could invent it, if there was some kind of brain plug-in.
Brain plug-in. I love that.
Anyway, I feel your pain too, baby. I hate it.
And it's all so unappealing. I mean, it can't be just be confined to artists. I mean, that kind of stuff's got to be unappealing to the majority of people. But it is just the kind of stuff. It just has to be a habit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think that something I'm going to do this week is work myself out a weekly timetable that I can stick to, she says now.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that, how that goes. Because what I would do, I'd see that coming up on my calendar, and I'd be like, you know, I could probably clean the bathroom instead. And that really needs doing as well. So I'll just go do that instead.
Exactly. Oh,
I pray for you, because if you can crack it, maybe you can sell it, you know, sell the model to me. I've actually got some help. I'm actually paying someone to help me with some of the stuff. So work on the socials is happening with someone who's helping me out. And it's just a teeny tiny job, but, you know, it's a kind of win-win That's situation good. For both of us at the moment. And it helps me. Mm. So I'm hoping that will help me get sorted with my goals. So what are your goals for 2024? What big things, other than our Art Week's Art Collective, what other things do you have on your docket that you are planning to focus on?
Sorry, I'm just going to bring up my to-do list. There's so many things on my wants list. I've just been listening to an audiobook of a book called Art and Fear, which I'm hoping will get me over my fear and procrastination, or will help me with that when it comes to making new art, because I just that fear of failure.
Are you afraid of new art, do you think? Are you having trouble?
I just am afraid of producing bad stuff. And
I totally hear you.
You to me, you seem to just go at it fearlessly. I end up just paralyzed sometimes by my fear of doing rubbish stuff. And you have to do the rubbish stuff to get the good stuff. I just hate it. And it becomes not fun.
Yeah, it becomes stressful.
Mm.
For me, I have to be in a really nice headspace for things to flow, like in my art world, you know? Mm. So it's kind of counterintuitive. Like it's not like a normal job where you can be stressed and go to a meeting and perform really well. It's a really rare occurrence for me in art. Do you find that for you as well? Like you have to be in the right headspace. Otherwise you overthink it. You're controlling it too much.
Yeah, I think the thinking is the problem. I think I spend too much time pre-planning. You know, I have loads of ideas in my head, but then I overthink how I would like to execute them rather than just getting on and, you know, getting some stuff down on paper or lino or whatever. I think I just need to stop thinking. And that could apply to a lot of other things in my life as well. Just get on and make the big mess, and eventually something good will come out of it. Yeah, but I just tie myself up in tortured knots, pre-planning it and trying to think how I can do it perfectly the first time, which is impossible. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Totally. And stupid. Yeah. Like I can say even like I do a lot of cooking and baking. And if someone came over and went, oh, I just made a cake for the first time and it didn't work, I'd be like, yeah, that is normal. Mm. I think maybe I am more comfortable with slapping stuff on paper.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the art form that makes it easier for me, because I sketch a lot as well.
Mm.
And I work with inks with brushes, which is very fast. I think my work is much faster, though, as well, like from start to finish, compared to when you do a big work. It can take you like a long, long time to do.
Yeah, I think it can definitely not help sort of if I am planning on embarking on a big, long, complex print, that pressure just can build up even more. So more spontaneity.
But I think maybe I am overthinking it as I learn more. Skill, I also learn more hesitations and I think more about how I should approach a problem rather than feel my way through.
Mm.
And that worries me a little bit, right? Because I don't feel I can reproduce my early work, which a lot of it I really like.
Mm.
And I wouldn't be able to reproduce it because for me, reproducing feels not artistic at all. It feels more artisanal, you know, like I'm reproducing something as opposed to creating something. Yeah. And for me, that's a big difference in my brain and how I work. Mm. So I don't know. It's interesting, but I know what you mean. If you produce work after work that it's to your mind mediocre, or it does get to me, you know, like, 'cause that happens to me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, But then people will come over and some works everyone loves. But most, I would not be able to predict what people would like. And that frustrates me to hell because I can't see what's good and what's not good. And that gets me in a tailspin.
Yeah, but it's all subjective, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're always going to have opinions, but there's just no way to know what someone else will like.
Yeah, so you have to like your own work, I suppose. You have to just be confident with it and not sell it to yourself. I find I do that to myself. I sell sometimes my work to myself if I don't love it. And that's a difficult thing that you don't want to do either. That has to speak to you.
Do you feel differently if you put something away for a while and you don't see it? Do you tend to feel any differently?
Yeah, that's when they either get ripped up or put on a maybe pile or put on a definitely keep pile. Because some work I don't think is excellent, but they mean something to me. So they stay. Those are mine, right? They go into Carl's pile. And then there's work that I think is speaks and has a better life outside my life, right? So I can share it with others. But in sharing it, there's a lot of effort. Like, so for this art show, you know, this is something that we need to speak about at some point, is just how, you know, you've done a lot of these, but I need to figure out how to do that. I have a lot of works. Which ones do I choose? Which ones do I print beforehand? How much does that cost? Right? And how much am I going to make? So I don't, you know, thank God I have another job as a way of I'm thinking of it. And thank God you do this full time so you can help me price things and figure it out. Because otherwise mine will be really cheap and everyone's going to buy my stuff.
Oh, I'll help you. Put the price up. It'll just double.
Just double it.
Double it. Whatever you think.
So I'm looking forward to the Art Collective this year. Are you looking forward to something specific this year? Do you have a big goal that you want to meet?
So one of my other things I would really like to do, and I'm going to drag you along with me, is life drawing.
Yes, we've agreed to this.
Because actually this was a learning from last year, is that, I mean, I don't do enough drawing. I would love to do more drawing. And one of the things that I realized last year is when I was working on my print of St. Catherine's College, there was a lot of stuff to draw. And I realized that, you know, after sitting there for, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, I had in that time noticeably improved. Never really seen that in myself before, I guess, because I haven't done that much drawing for a long time. And it was incredible to me, really, to see how much you can improve over a short space of time.
There's two drawing classes, both super different from each other, that I have done that are available on YouTube for free. And they taught me a ton about perspective and, you know, depth and all these kind of things. Things that you kind of, you know, you can draw a cube, you think you understand. But if you have to draw a huge bandstand or something like St. Cat's, like you did, you suddenly realize, wow, you know. Anyway, if you want to improve your drawing skills, just, you know, at home on your own, I will share these in the show notes. You know, they're fun.
Yeah, and I mean, that's amazing, isn't it, that we've got that kind of stuff so easily available to us. But I think, yeah, like with doing my accounts and keeping better records of what's sold and what my outgoings are, it's just about doing it regularly and making that a habit.
Yeah. Do you have any goals this year about entering competitions and things like that?
Not really, but I know someone who does. It's you. Come on, tell us about it.
It is me. So, okay. So there's a lot of art competitions out there. Some are maybe more prestigious than others based on how long they've existed and, you know, how many people are members of that particular society or group.
Yeah.
And often they have an open call. Right. And then they'll ask open artists, like, you know, if you want to enter something. So I'm looking primarily this year at watercolor ones. So I'm looking at the Royal Institute of Watercolor, the RI, and looking at the RWS, Royal Watercolor Society. So both of them have open calls for January. I've entered three works into the Royal Institute.
Excellent.
Of watercolor. Yeah. I think that's the one run by Prince Charles. I'm not sure. Or he was at one point. Sorry, King Charles now. I have no idea. He probably gave up that job.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
probably very busy now. So what happens is they look at all these works. They get hundreds of works or whatever amount of works they get in. And then they select one or many that will be shown in an exhibition. And mm-hmm. if yours is one of them selected, you have to send them the original work, price it. It goes on the wall. It may get sold. They get a cut, you get a cut, and maybe you become a member or something. Who knows? We'll find out.
And why is this a goal for you?
I think it's about teaching. So I have this goal in maybe a few years to be able to teach retreats. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm.
Right? Because I love to paint different places. I like doing plein air stuff as well. So it would be really fun just to land somewhere with a few keen plein airs. People, right? I don't even think it matters what medium they want to do. It's just more of a plein air group.
Mm.
And let's go somewhere and then let's just work on a landscape, eat delicious food, drink wine, have a campfire and paint all day.
Oh, sounds amazing.
Right. Sounds amazing. And, you know, it's, I think we could do it fairly cost effectively and it would be really fun. And so that's my goal. But in order to do that and convince people you know what you're talking about, you have to have nice works, and it helps occasionally to have some recognition from third parties.
Sure.
So that's my game plan. I have no idea. It might take me 10 years to get in. You know, Josie, who came on last year, she got in, she said, she got into which one? The RA? First time she got a painting in?
Yeah.
Crazy. Amazing. So, you know, things like that can happen. So we'll see what happens.
And let's talk about classes then.
We need to do classes. I think we both talked about that.
I learned last year I can teach.
Yes, you can.
You know, I didn't know that before I tried, and I had presumed, because I didn't have any teaching experience, that it wasn't something I could do. But I did, and probably got maybe 10 classes under my 10 workshops under my belt now. So I'm just in the process of scheduling some more for this year. But yeah, there's a big appetite, certainly in Oxford and I'm sure elsewhere, for classes. So I think that's something that I'm probably going to put more focus on this year and try and expand what I'm offering as well.
Mm. You're interested right now. You're doing these workshops, these one-offs, which is great. I'm a little concerned about the amount of work those are for me. Because you have to, you know, again, you have to kind of get all the people for every class. They're always different every time you do a workshop. So you have to get a new audience in or get recommendations and all that stuff. And it's all great. It all works, but it takes work to run. I'm hoping to do maybe a longer class, you know, maybe a six-parter or something like that, where we have the same audience. I can watch them progress as well and learn and also get to know them, right, as people. Mm. Like, so I can see them on the street and go, hey, how's it going? You know, so anyway, so that's interesting. And it's about finding a location to do it and then advertising it and getting the people to come. So,
yeah. And a few people asked me about longer courses as well as one-offs.
I'm sure they have. Yeah.
That's probably something I should look into as well.
But I like the idea. We talked, you know, something we can talk about is if we can find a venue that's big enough and economical enough, we could do them together and then hopefully cross-pollinate, you know, some of our people from
attendees,
each other.
Yeah.
You know, because people sometimes just want to do this just to have fun. And that's the whole point. You know, just try something and see if it sticks. Mm-hmm. And in six classes, it's not enough that you're committed for life. You're committed for, you know, 6 weeks, but you may discover something that you absolutely adore. You never know.
Yeah.
Watch this space.
What else is on your list of goals for 2024?
The most boring but most necessary for me is refreshing my website. So when I created the website originally, I'm proud that I did it, but it's a website just to show my art, saying this is the stuff that I have been creating to people, friends, you know, listeners, everybody. But it's not a site that is designed for selling at all.
And that's a whole other world.
Yes. You have built a new website this year and it's amazing.
Thank you.
Go visit sallyandstuartprints.co.uk.
Oh.
Go buy a print or two because that's where I want to be. So Sally.
That's a flipping lot of work. honestly. I did it. And again, it's something that I didn't think I would do, but I got fed up with Etsy, basically. And so I bit the bullet, and it was surprisingly difficult.
Even though they say it up and running in 10 minutes.
Yeah. I think part of the problem was, so I've gone with Squarespace. And when I say it's difficult, that's no offense intended to Squarespace, because it's a lovely website and it works very well. But I think maybe it has more functionality and more options than I needed. So as usual, when I have a lot of options in front of me, I overthink, panic, get overwhelmed by all the possibilities. So that was a bit horrendous. But then, yeah, just sort of slogged through it. And I think my presumption was that I would buy a Squarespace website and it would just sort of all be there. The stuff was all there, but you have to kind of put it all together in the way that you want it, hacking through the weeds and getting there. And it's done. And it works.
And it's beautiful.
Lots of people like you have said it looks really good. So, but what we need to talk about with regard to selling online is the best, most efficient, most money savvy way of doing it, which is possibly this doing print on demand. So you're not picking and packing your own stuff. That would be basically be high quality. We're talking reproductions of originals.
Exactly. So what Sally has right now is when she sells a piece of work on her site, she manually has to fulfill that order and send it off in the post or pop it wherever and send it, give it to the person, which is great, which is fine locally, right? Like if you have to walk down the street.
Yeah. And lots of mine are originals. So inevitably they have to come from my own studio. But with things like reprints, there's no reason why the order couldn't go straight to a printer.
Exactly.
And they print it rather than me buying 100 reproductions and then having them sat in my studio.
100%.
While I wait for them to sell and me also having that initial outlay.
So the idea of it, I've been looking at what we're calling drop ship companies. And ideally, mm-hmm. I'm looking at drop ship companies that produce high quality archival prints. So that you have, you know, so you don't get like some, you know, like lots of people, there's lots of dropship companies that do like, you know, a logo on a mug or some stickers and things like that. Mm. But we want it to be much higher quality of that. So if anyone out there knows of good companies that provide this service, either across the UK or Europe or internationally, we are interested in hearing about it. That's one of my goals, is to get my website up and running so that I can sell prints through a third party provider of this, and also originals directly, because as you said, that has to have to come from me.
I came across somebody who sells their work through one of these companies, and I wonder if even the drop shipping company will provide you with a shopfront type thing, so you didn't even have to do your own website.
Yeah, true. So much to learn. I'm excited for 2024.
Yes. Well, that is a major goal, is getting more excellent artists on our podcast.
Yes. Well, let's pray that 2024 brings us lots of fascinating guests on the show, lots of sales of prints and original works, and a bigger, stronger, more wonderful Oxford art community.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Art Musings. We'll be back in a few weeks. And until then, go art it up. Bye, Sally.
Bye.